and assure success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. Yeah. United we stand. Divided we fall.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another frickin' exciting edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. I'm your host, Vinnie Eastwood, and today we have another radio host for you, ladies and gentlemen, who's very, very fabulous, and I appeared with him on United We Strike Radio, and you can check out the archives of that at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Vinnie on other shows, I believe, is the thingy. And it was really quite one of the most amusing appearances on radio that I've ever done. So I thought, you know what, man, stuff's getting real depressing out there. There's Fukushima, there's economic crisis, this, people trying to force vaccinate you, that. And so I thought we'd bring on somebody else who's also pretty funny and just have a few laughs amidst the genocide. Mike, welcome to the program.
Well, yeah, hold on a minute. I'm putting in my donation right now, because if I donate $3 to the Democrats, I can have dinner with Obama. Just a minute. I'll be done in just a second. But okay, I'm done. How are you?
All right. I'm doing really good.
$3 donation gives me a chance to win it. Have dinner with Obama. I'm so excited. I know that my $3 donation is now going to make that all happen. I can't wait.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, after all, that's how much his education cost.
And you're probably right. Was it at Harvard or Columbia? Was he a Fulbright scholar foreign scholarship?
No. The only thing that I know for sure is that he attended a madrasa in Indonesia. Beyond that, his school records and all of that kind of stuff appear to have been made up.
And the entry fee, $3 at the madrasa.
How interesting. Oh, goodness. Hey, so what's it like living in the U.S. in this day and age? I mean, as a radio show host, you've surely seen some description of evolution in the Patriot movement over the last, say, 5 years or so, or particularly since 9/11. I'd love to just get your take on the current situation as it stands for the Patriot movement in the States.
You know, I've been thinking about this a lot over the last few days. I don't know if there's so much of a movement as there is a cause. We all seem like to be fractured on certain little issues. You'll have, you know, one group, you know, well, we're still talking about BP. Another group over here is worried about the Federal Reserve. Another group is focused on 9/11. It's like we can't get together and understand that here's the root cause of the problem. We need to go take out the root cause. We're still like grasping at symptoms. Kind of seems where we're at. And part of it too is you have different people that are coming into this, and they're coming in at different levels of knowledge and information. And so some of the things that they're finding interesting were things that maybe you and I were talking about maybe 4 years ago or 5 years ago on a regular basis that they're just now finding and discovering, and it's like an epiphany. And then I have to sit and think about, wait a minute, that was the same epiphany I had 4 or 5 years ago. And so it's everything moving in, that kind of thing. But I think we're more of a cause and less of a movement. And I think once we start gelling and start thinking, hey, we've got to take out the source of the problem as opposed to dealing with the separate issues, I think then we'll start moving.
Well, I think you're right, actually. It really is a cause rather than a movement, because movements move.
And Vinny's absolutely quiet.
Yeah. And that's the real problem. I mean, it's not like we're doing nothing or all that kind of stuff like that in the background. And we have some successes here and there, but mostly I feel that we're just struggling to cover the bad news that comes out every day, just like a main media news organization should be. But because they're just basically putting out disinfo and whatnot, it makes our job twice as hard, because not only do we have to cover the real news, but we also have to expose all the lies at the same time while we're doing it.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is. You know, every day it's like a madness. I call it madness, insanity, and absurdity. Every day it's like it gets freakier and freakier and freakier. Like I said, coming on, if I give Obama $3, my name goes in a hat to win dinner with him. I mean, anybody can do it. Just give him $3. Here's your chance. That would be the night that they have, you know, probably, you know, grits and collards. And for some, they'll like that, but there won't be any meat with it because Michelle will bring it all from the garden. And there's no, I don't think they got any animal grazing in the back. But it's all strange. I mean, I was looking, you know, you look at Drudge and you see a lot of these headlines, you know, from around the world and around the country. Things that just don't matter are like the most important things to people. Like we're so obsessed with American Idol, Dancing with the Stars, Anthony Wiener's Wiener, all these things. I mean, it's just weird stuff. I mean, you would think this guy was a sausage maker with the amount of attention he's getting paid.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've never seen an American pay that much attention to an issue like that. And what's really concerning for me, though, is that with all this pop culture and whatnot, when people talk about, say, expanding a radio show that talks about the kind of stuff that you and I do, Mike, they sort of automatically get discouraged and say, oh, but look, there's all these mainstream media shows that have millions of listeners and viewers and blah, 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 you know, we'll never get up to that level. Well, not if you don't do anything, mate. And just bear in mind that the only reason why people aren't listening to you or watching your show or whatever is because you don't make one.
The point of, you know, expanding to like a major...
Oh, we appear to have lost Mike there. Hopefully we can bring him back. Oh, sorry, yeah, Mike, you just dropped off there a sec. Start again.
We've got to reconnect and see if we can't get like a better, you know, this is obvious. Skype is now owned by Microsoft.
Yeah. Well, we just reconnected you and it should be fine. But just in case, just pop your landline number into the Skype chat here. So if you drop off again, we can ring you up through the studio. But continuing on. Talked about the fact that, you know, if you haven't got any listeners, it means you don't have a show or whatever, or the fact of the matter is you don't know how to do marketing or get it out there. And my take is that, hey, look, there's billions of people out there who do actually want to hear this information. They just don't hear about it because they're not plugged into the right news sources yet. So it means to a certain extent you need to actually go out seeking those people to find them. And to bring them to the place where they can get some decent information from,
and one of the things too is I'm starting to tailor my message that I have on my program to those people that maybe have never heard about this before, and I try to keep things kind of within inside the left right paradigm and expose that as being bogus, that these people that we have at the helms of power are idiots, they're crooks, they're liars, they're cheats, half of them are psychopaths. That's what we try to focus on to make it a little more palatable. I mean, I can't, you know, for somebody who's never heard some of this stuff, you know, coming in and saying that, you know, we're having homosexual blood sacrifices from the Illuminati and other stuff, that's just not really going to grab them all of a sudden. It's going to cause them to run. And while a lot of that may be true, that those things are occurring, it's not something that you can, somebody, a first-time listener that's starting to find this information is going to find palatable.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you have to pick your battles to a certain extent. And, you know, it took me maybe 2-3 years of researching into 9/11, global warming, vaccines, health, and all of the what I'd consider the staple diet for the awakening truther before I started to hear about and study and learn the intricacies of the occult realm. And the reason why I think it's a good idea to actually save the occult worship until later is because it's essentially the glue that binds all of the different other New World Order study topics together, because all of them tie into the occult, you know? The health industry, for example, full to the brim with occultists, you know? It's basically... It's a practice of Satanism, as far as I'm concerned, where they'll pump you up with huge amounts of drugs to produce immense amounts of suffering for you here on Earth, and then they profit massively from that and eventually you leave a dried up, sacrificed corpse for them. I mean, that's the way the elite look at it. I'm not saying that I look at it that way, but I know that that's how they look at it because they're freaking psychos, you know? And I suppose you're right. That's what really does scare people is the fact that their leaders are psychos.
Yeah. And a lot of it, too, is that we don't think like psychos. And so since the psycho has no remorse, no conscience about anything, that, you know, hey, we kill a million people, so what? I still get reelected. Hot dog. That's great. War is a beautiful thing. People don't see that. And so when you talk to them, they'll admit that your politicians are liars and crooks. But no, certainly, they would never lie about a war and start a war that would end up with the deaths of a million Iraqis and God knows how many of our own kids. I mean, they would never, ever do that. But, oh, yes, they will. And history is replete with examples.
That's why people can't understand them. You know, you say something like that to them, and they go, well, I just don't understand. Why would they do that? And I say, well, here's why you don't understand. You're not a psychopath.
Right.
You're not familiar with them either. Okay? It doesn't make any sense to you to go off and kill whole bunches of people and then laugh and then bathe in their blood. Because no. You're a nice person. You're not freaking crazy. And that's the reason why people don't, under any circumstances, willingly accept that that might be the case. That you've got literal demon worshippers running the government. It's like, what the hell? It's too much.
Yeah, I mean, the average person is not going to think a weekend at Bohemian Grove's a good time.
Well, you know, there's a whole lot of sick stuff that goes up on there. I mean, they import gay porn stars for the elite, and we're talking about people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, George Bush, Ronald Reagan. All these people have been snapped there. You know, to do naughty, naughty things together in the privacy of a massive private redwood grove. You know, underneath, of course, a 40-foot stone owl, which is an occult symbol of worship. and of course, when you think about it, if you have a look at, say, for example, the entirety of society, how it's run, how our cities are designed, etc., and you have a broad-based knowledge of the evil and all the underlying sick tones and all of that kind of stuff, you do see the world in a drastically different light. And for some people, it's basically too big for them to comprehend at the first place. And that's why I recommend, you know, just do your basics first. You can't do calculus until you're able to do 1 + 1, is my opinion. And, you know, there's so much complexity with this. And you crossed on an interesting point there, Mike, about how the truth movement sort of disparate, fractionalized, you know, with 9/11 being an inside job. We're against vaccines. We're against weather warfare. We're against chemtrails, etc. And I think that what's happened is that because the New World Order's compartmentalized and all these agendas are compartmentalized, that the truth movement itself, by default, has become compartmentalized. What do you think?
Yeah, it's like everybody has as their issue of choice. It's like their own specialization. They get into, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that seems to be where we're at, and things are kind of static with that kind of model that we're seeing. How do we change it? I don't know, because again, you have so many different viewpoints of people that come into this. Then you have those who come temporarily. Because they may not like an individual. I mean, look at how many people glommed onto the truth movement during the Bush administration. And as soon as the Bush administration was over, and it was the Barry Satoro congregation that enters the picture, these people disappeared. What happened to the anti-war movement in America? It disappeared overnight.
You know what? I think you're right. That's why the agenda of the false left-right paradigm works so well. Is because people think that only right-wingers are pro-war. It's like, no, not at all, mate. The problem is the right-wingers launch big wars and the left-wingers launch little wars. That's the only difference. It's like one will launch two small wars, one will launch one big war. Okay? Who's launched more war? It doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen. It's all a big freaking scam. it should be pretty straightforward to anybody that has a memory longer than 4 years that every single term president F's everything up. Quite masterfully.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they practiced at it. I mean, they prepared. They send them off to screw it up school. That's part of the elite training that they get. They teach them how to be psychopaths. And basically, they ingrain these people to become psychopaths. And then and occasionally, they find people along the way that have the bloodline that aren't quite in the elite family, like Barack Hussein Obama or Barry Satoru or the long-legged Mac Daddy or whatever you want to call him, that have been in situations where basically they're dumped. And so children who are dumped that don't have a mom or dad that care about them develop these same type of psychopathic tendencies. And guess what? You're a member of the club. Come on in. And so he gets to hang out with people like Larry Sinclair in the back of a limo, and that puts him as part of the club because now they see that he's just a chip off the old block to people like Hines and Zbig. And so here he is, the big man. Nobody knows who he is, and here he is. President. Can you believe this? We elected a guy president. He was selected. Selected a guy to be president, and nobody in this country really knows anything about this guy.
Well, I can believe that. After all, when Clinton was elected, nobody knew jack about him. He's just some random person from Arkansas. And that's how the elite choose to work it, I think. They pick somebody who has no reputation so that nobody has any familiarity with how corrupt they are.
Well, that and the other thing, though, Vinny, let's go back to the previous administration. You got the Bush administration. What was Grandpappy Prescott Bush doing? He's doing business with the Nazis. All that Bush family fortune, guess where it came from? It came from doing business with the Nazis. So not only do you have Bush Sr., Bush Jr. running for president off the Bush Nazi money, also Richard Nixon.
Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Mike Chambers. And we'll be right back after the break with more Nazi Gold!
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo. But I'm here now. What you wanna do? How many dudes you really know can flow like this, like this, like this? Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this?
Not many, if any. Not many, if any.
How many dudes you know got skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody.
Check, check to the mic, check. 1, 2 from a crew coming through. Are you hype yet? Nowadays, everybody wanna talk, but we got someone to scribe. Ain't got nothing when I'm up in the lobby. Can't talk when you're feeling the vibe. You know, scribe is sticking me high. Level with the double bass.
Welcome back to the show that's all about basically having a good time, despite the fact that everything's effed. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. My very special guest, Mike Chambers, joins me for the full 2 hours today. And quite frankly, there is no plan. There is no schedule. Because we just don't think that far ahead. In fact, he only just came back from making burgers out of raccoons, as I understand it.
With your meat glue you were telling me about.
Yeah. Well, get this, ladies and gentlemen. Me and Mike, we love food. I'll just talk about food over the break. And he's got this real mad meat market right next to him and all of that kind of stuff where you get really good grade A quality burger meat. You know, the kind of stuff that you just love. And I was telling him about how massive stories have been breaking here in New Zealand and Australia that these top restaurants are now ordering in lower quality chunks of meat, gluing them together with a special kind of meat glue, rolling them up in plastic wrap so that it looks like a kind of a big meat sausage, and then slicing it and saying to the customers who are paying something like $26 or something for one of these steaks that it's a real top prime cut steak. Okay? Food nowadays has become very, very sad, all right? And it's not just the fast food places where you wind up getting crappy food that's going to kill you and has copious amounts of toxins and chemicals in it. It's also now the high-class restaurants. Isn't that interesting?
It is indeed. Well, hey, we got a good cost. We got to maximize profits here from somehow, some way, somehow. Ooh, meat glue and crappy meat. I kind of like it. Next, we'll kind of go the Taco Bell route and add some isolated oat product to it and some other interesting chemicals and the like to put it in there. Oh, that's your specially seasoned steak. Those secret spices we have in there that we told you about them, we'd have to kill you.
Well, it turns out that one of the secret herbs and spices is MSG.
Always, that's yes.
That's why that chicken tastes so dang good. That's why you can't help yourself but go back for another bucket, boy. I can't believe this crap. You know, seriously. Ladies and gentlemen, what are you putting into your bodies these days? In fact, what am I putting into my body? Because I partake in this crap too, you know. I'm not perfect. In fact, I'd probably say I'm just absolutely terrible when it comes to fast food. I hoe down that stuff. It's like you can't stop.
It's like a crack whore moment. You just can't stop. You got to pull in. The vehicle immediately pulls itself into the parking lot. Next thing you know, yes, I would like fries with an order. Thank you very much. And give me some with some high fructose corn syrup in it, please. A big one. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It is amazing how the sizes of these servings have increased over time. And it turns out that if you test lab, there's been lab rat tests and things of that nature being conducted over the years. And what they've found is that the rats who get twice as much food given to them live half as long as the rats that live on half as much food. The more food that you eat, the more work your digestive system does, the quicker you die. That's a fact. So bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, if this is true in humans as well. You ever look at all the people around there who are eating copious quantities of food all the time? They don't live very long. All the people that are eating small meals and eating basically virtually nothing by comparison live freaking forever. You know, they just sustain themselves. And there's some dude in India, some meditating guru or something like that, who previously I'd thought was able to survive without any nutrition at all, no water, no food or whatever, but it turns out he only just doesn't eat food. And he hasn't eaten since like the 70s. He's still alive.
Well, if we use that definition of food, what is his definition of food? Maybe he's having 3 Big Macs a day and we don't realize it.
Well, what he does is... It's actually energy that food provides you. And what this guy does is he stares into the sun for the first 30 seconds of sunrise and the last 30 seconds of sunset. When the sun's at a very weak stage, it filters out a lot of the UV rays that would go directly into your eyes, but it still absorbs a lot of photon energy. And apparently, because that electricity runs through your eyes, goes directly into your brain, it can then keep your body running with all the electrical signals that you would often get from the energy from your food. And this guy's able to obtain that from the sun, apparently. And so a whole bunch of scientists got real uppity about it. And they went over to India and said, oh, this can't be true. This can't be true. You know, locked him in a room under lights and all of this kind of stuff, you know, checking his temperature, checking his pulse and blah, blah, blah. And they didn't feed him, of course. He just sat there in a room for a couple of weeks, just breathing, you know. He was fine. It was unbelievable.
That's amazing. The sun can, you know, the sun's a pretty powerful thing. I remember a couple of stories 2 or 3 years ago of some guys, climbers on Everest. This one guy, he goes for the summit. He gets to the summit, starts his way back down. He's tired. He says, well, you know, I'm tired. I'm out of oxygen. I'm huffing and puffing. I'm about to blow the house down. You know what? I'm going to sit down. Well, he sits down. Well, when you sit down at Mount Everest to 28,500 feet, you don't get back up again. Not usually. So he spends the night up there totally exposed. He's got his little climbing suit on, and they leave him for dead. He comes the next morning. The sun comes up, nice, clear, beautiful day. all of a sudden this guy comes too. I mean, he's awake, and he's going, what the hell am I doing up here at 28,500 feet Everest? I need to get down. The guy gets up and walks himself back down with no assistance, no nothing. Just like, it's just like, you know, they plugged the battery into him. The Energizer buddy, you know, went up to 28,500 feet and plugged him in, and down he came. So the sun's a very powerful thing, and what it's able to do and what it does to the body. I know instantly you go out into the sun, and if you just, like, close your eyes and just stand out in it for, like, 30, 40 seconds, the energy and the feeling that you get is so very good. And maybe it's the vitamin D that sustains the guy.
Well, who knows? I mean, quite frankly, I'm an inadequate scientist and an inadequate researcher to fully explain this to anybody. Which goes back to our conversational point about how people specialize in something. I don't think I do specialize in anything, really. I don't really have a speciality. I'm kind of equally as bad or as good as at whatever I try. But the difficulty for me is that I don't like to research into things too much, because it means I'm missing out on other little things. I like to keep things very general. And then if it comes to a point where I need to know something, that's when I'll stick my head in a book and absorb some information about something if I really, really want to know. I think that just having a broad sensual awareness of the possibilities that are going on out there, and not believing them necessarily, but just opening your mind to possibilities. You don't have to do anything, and in most cases, a possibility of doing something doesn't mean you will do it. Like, it's possible for me today to stop eating or drinking coffee or something along those lines, but I'm not going to do it, you know.
It's possible you might be out of money, may not be able to go buy some more, but it's not going to happen likely.
Well, yeah. I mean, because you prioritize certain things that give you a kick in life, don't you? Like, for example, this radio show, being on air with people like yourself, Mike, gives me a real kick. So I prioritize it in my life ahead of most other things. And but of course, because we're living in a symbiotic relationship, everything that I do affects my girlfriend as well. And it becomes quite an interesting thing, and that's what life is really about, is learning how to juggle and keep yourself happy without really offending and destroying everybody and everything around you, you know? Because otherwise, most people who are psychopaths keep themselves happy by only enriching themselves and destroying other people and their things.
And what's even stranger is there are actually some people that are attracted to psychopaths and will run to them because some of the behaviors and characteristics these people have, they find charming. And so they'll hook up with them. And then after a while, they realize, wait a minute, I've been scammed. This guy's a psychopath. If they ever find out he's a psychopath, instead of these guys will play some interesting little scams and games on people. And now we find out that they're in our politics, they're in our corporations. They say 5% of the population worldwide are psychopaths. That's wild. 5%.
Well, it's actually 4%, as far as my understanding is. We had Thomas Sheridan on the show who wrote a book on psychopaths.
I talked with Thomas too, and I thought it was 5%, but if he says 4, I will go with Thomas's word.
Yeah. And that's what I was really concerned about, is that's 1 in 25 people, I think, or something around that region. And the concern becomes, how many people are there in the average workplace? And if there's 4% psychopaths, that means that there is a decent proportion of leadership figures that have control over separate organizations all over the place. Because when I heard the American Medical Journal say that a psychopath is somebody who's generally very friendly when you meet them for the first time, but has no depth to their personality, no long-lasting relationships, that's the definition of a psychopath. And when they say that the three most likely places you are to find these types of people is business, media, and politics, I shipped my brain right away to Awakenings Land. And I was just like, hold on a second, man. Every single employer that I have ever had in my entire life fits that description.
Yeah, yeah. I worked for a lot of people that are just out and out psychopaths that will do something, you know, set people up, do other things. I mean, it's not just vindictiveness. It's just like they love seeing the pain they create and the angst that they give people. But people look at these folks because of certain characteristics, the leadership qualities that I'm in control because I know everything. And if you don't think I do, well, just ask me. I'll tell you because they feel like they do no wrong. Trying to convince them that they've done wrong is next to impossible to do because they don't know the word no. And when you get involved with the word no with a psychopath, the fight or flight instinct kicks in for them because they don't understand it. They don't understand love. They will emulate it. They will practice it as if they're actually doing it, but it's not something they can perform. They're not able to actually love somebody because they just don't have the capability of it. It's not built into them. Something that was left out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like they took a rib from man to make the woman or something like that. I think they took a part of the brain from man to produce a psychopath, and that brain was the left brain, the real kind of reptilian brain, the sort of I'm basically just gonna eat and take what I want as much as I can without being caught. And that's what the problem is with the word no to these people is that if somebody refuses what they want, it means that they've been caught because they understand that they're being played.
Well, it's everything is about them, and if somebody says no, then it's like well, you're no longer going along with my plan here, which is I get everything I want, you get nothing. You get the appearance that I'm this fine living person, or that I'm this fine boss, or that I'm a caring individual and your friend. But in reality, what I'm doing is I'm sucking energy out of you to make myself feel better, make me feel important, and to make me stand out.
And these people are in your everyday life, you know,
every day. And you wouldn't think of it. I mean, if the number is 1 in 25. That means, folks, that out of every 25 people you know, chances are one of them is a psychopath. You probably eat dinner with him. You probably go to lunch with him or her on a regular basis, and you have no clue. Oh, they're so charming. They're so nice. They're so wonderful.
And they really don't understand, do they? And maybe this is part of our vacuous relationship status in today's life. Because we're distracted by cell phones and computers and television and all of these things that stop our brains from working. And the reason why our brains are so large is because we have an awful large amount of space for social interaction. And that's what a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of the capacity of human intelligence is possessed strictly within the social networking parts of your brain. And to me, that speaks volumes about the human race. It means that we're stronger together and we're smarter together.
Well, certainly
what a psychopath believes is that they're smarter and better off by themselves. Okay.
Yeah.
And as a result, they have no loyalty to any kind of common human value or decency. You're listening, kind of like me. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the Vinny Eastwood Show.com.
Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on? The word is about, there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinny Eastwood Show.com, proudly brought to you by GorillaMedia.co.nz. My very special guest today,
very funny man who helps me to hijack other radio shows, is Mike Chambers, coming at us live from the USSA. And the phone lines are now open, ladies and gentlemen. The number to call in, if you're keen to get on the air with me and Mike, is 402-237-2525. That's 402-237-2525. And we have a caller here, Tracy from Canada. You're on the air. Tracy, are you there? Well, we seem to have have an unfortunate incident. It is live radio. Anyway, Tracy, you're unmuted, so if you want to speak up at any time, go right ahead. But in the meantime, Mike,
yes.
One thing that was really bugging me the other day is that when you have a Google or a look at the presidential election debates, they are talking about what kind of pizza the candidates like, whether or not they like Dancing with the Stars or American Idol, whether they like burgers or fries or any number of inane, meaningless crap, taking out of a debate for like 10 minutes to do this.
I know, I saw it. I puked. It's stupid. I mean, what is it next? Thong or granny panties? What's it going to be? Would you ask Michelle Bachmann? Thong or granny panties? Boxers or briefs, Ron? What is it? Jeez.
Yeah, it's just beyond a joke now. Seriously. They're not taking any kind of political debate seriously. Right?
Well, of course
and
not.
Demonize anybody who does.
Look at the clowns they have assembled. It's like the Ringling Brothers Barnum Bailey Circus there.
This goes back to what I'm talking about, man. If we want to run on an election platform, run for the clown party. Come on there, dress with big red shoes, big red nose, rainbow frickin' wig, and say, vote for me because I'm way less corrupt than the rest of these clowns.
It's Clarabelle for president. Here we go.
Yeah! Bozo the president. Imagine.
Yes. Bozo the clown is president, yes.
He'd probably do a much better job because at least the copious quantities of death and suffering the American government causes will at least be slightly more amusing.
Well, or we get a Rocky and Bullwinkle as president and vice president. That way, you know, when it's time to do something to fix the economy or to get us out of a war or into a war, Bullwinkle can step up and say, "Hey, Rocky, want to see me pull something out of my hat? Nothing up my sleeve? Presto!" And then Rocky comes in, and now here's something we think you'll really like.
Yeah, and the closest we've had to Rocky and Bullwinkle so far is George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Yeah, but that was more like Natasha and Boris.
Well, I don't know. I think it was more like Skeletor and the Legion of Doom, you know. they're just so horrific. You know, just a couple of criminals getting together, you know, like Two-Face and the Riddler or something like that, you know. Seriously, America has now become Gotham City, I swear. And there's nothing but supervillains and masked assailants to save you. And all the masked assailants, incidentally, are working for their own end. Some kind of police officer in uniform or whatever, just some sort of slave to the state, enforcing against other slaves to the state. Come on, people. Let's just wake up and have a look at what's really going on here before you start making snap judgments and decisions about politics and whatnot, of which you probably know very little about. I mean, have you interviewed any politicians? Have you gone to political meetings? You know, most people who think that they know a lot about politics have gone to, you know, mainstream political party meetings. And you realize that they don't actually talk about anything of consequence at virtually any point in a lot of political meetings. Maybe out of a three-hour meeting, there'd be perhaps 15 minutes of usable footage of things that you can really use for a discrediting YouTube video, okay? The rest of it is basically just drivel.
And fluff.
And fluff. That's what political speaking has become. 90% BS and fluff, and 10% possibly okay, passable material, which needs more research to back it up before you can start repeating it and preaching it, because most of it's lies. You know, it's just a ridiculous intellectual quagmire of verbal diarrhea.
Yeah, it's almost like a traveling preacher in a tent circuit. You know, he comes into town, he blows in, he blows up, blows out the town, feels like they've had a big revival, but later we find out that 12 of the town's daughters are pregnant. This is basically what they do, is they come in and do it, and make it, everything seem wonderful, but in the end they wreak havoc with everything they touch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's why you can't trust psychopaths, because they are only looking out for one person, okay? And it ain't you.
No, they're walking around with a mirror. I'm looking out after you, the man in the mirror. You know, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. Got to moonwalk here a little bit. But we don't expect that people to be that way. And that's why they get away with it, is that they you know, don't see people as acting that way. I mean, yes, they might lie, and they might coerce, and they might cajole, and they might steal. But, oh, they would never lie about something like 9/11 or, well, fluoride in the water or Fukushima. I want to figure out who Shima is, because people, they just keep cussing her out every day. Have you noticed that?
Man.
Who is this girl Shima, and what did she do?
Oh, yeah, man. Shima likes it rough.
Yes, I think she does. She very well may, but it's interesting. You know, we said it, and we bring these guys in year after year after year, and then you give, you know, if there was something you didn't like about them, oh, give them 4 years and let them cool off a little bit. They'll reinvent themselves, have a few more focus groups to find out what you want to hear. See, I've always likened this whole process to, here you are, you're the big man on campus. You're the big quarterback for the football team, or the star football player down there, or a rugby player. You're the man, and there's the cheerleader. There's the groupies. There's the women that want to be with you, and you've got the head cheerleader in the back of the 67 G. You're there on Lover's Lane. It's nice and quiet. The moon is out. You've got the headlights dimmed and the music's on, and you're in the back seat. And she says, "Honey, I don't do anything unless it means something. Tell me you love me." "Oh, he'll tell you anything he wants. Anything you want, baby, I love you. I'm going to marry you. You're my woman. You're my baby." They get it on. And then, honey, look, I was, you know, maybe we're moving a little bit too fast. Maybe we need to slow down a little bit. This marriage thing, I really didn't have an opportunity to express myself how I really feel about marriage. But we were caught in a moment, and next thing I know, there we are. We're locked together, and... in bliss, and it felt like marital bliss there for a minute, but now, wait a minute, it feels like divorce. What am I going to do? And of course, she's left shocked. She's hurt, because he said he loved me. But in the end, he didn't love me, he was just trying to use her. And that's exactly what these people do. This is how they perform.
They don't love you.
They want to get the gal on the back of that 67 GTO with a hooker truck.
Oh, right. And we have some callers here. Tracy, we're going to try again, and we also have the Greek holding. Tracy, are you there? Can you hear us? No, absolutely something mixed up there. Okay, next caller. The Greek, are you there, mate? The Greek, can you hear me? You're on the air. We have some description of problem with the phones today, as it turns out. Hopefully the people at the studio will be able to work that one out. In the meantime, guys, I'm sorry, but if you can hear me, don't worry. We'll surely bring you back up in some way, shape, or form if we can. But continuing on with the whole kind of love nest relationship that it has, I mean, it reminds me of this new movie and books and whatever called Twilight Saga. Have you heard of this, Mike? Where like this this young girl gets completely obsessed with this vampire type person who's like got a real rough history and whatever, real long history, because he's been living forever, for example. And the problem is that it programs young girls to have very unhealthy relationships. Okay? Teaches them that being obsessive is a good thing. You know, to sacrifice themselves for their man. And, you know, this is really bad, man. I would tailor to think that our current society, with a 50% plus divorce rate, is suffering at the hands of propaganda like this. You know, break down that freaking family, said the Rockefellers. And this is interesting, has its roots back in the women's liberation movement. And I'm not ragging on women here, I'm ragging on the Rockefellers, because they funded the women's lib movement specifically for two reasons. A1, they'd be able to get their funding money back in an extra tax on every single family, every single household. They'd also be able to simultaneously destroy the family unit by keeping young, good, responsible, healthy mothers out of the home where they can be of most use to their children. Whammo. We have a society that is instantly working more, getting paid less, and raising their children worse than ever before. That's women's liberations, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Oh yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Check out our archives and join us in the chat room there if you can. My very special guests for this hour as well is Mike Chambers. Mike, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back a second hour. Usually it doesn't occur that way. Usually I'm around for the first hour and they go, get the hell out of here.
Well, you know, we did 1 hour on the other show and we kind of hijacked it. So I figured, you know, I'm a big fan of one-upsmanship. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed, I agree. And I warned those people. I said, we're about to hijack your show. And I think they were going to be all serious with everything, and then they asked us a couple of questions, and it was Katie bar the door. And for the next hour and a half, I mean, I think their archive even stopped running, so there's no archive of like the last 30 or 40 minutes of our madness and insanity that we were creating over there. And they will probably never pair us together again. You realize that?
Well, don't worry. I mean, I'm sure we can make up for that. Now, callers, on the other hand, we've reset the phone, so hopefully the Greek, you're on the air.
Hey, Vinny.
Hey there. Oh, man, fantastic. Yeah, so glad to have you back, bro.
Howdy. Can you hear me?
Yeah, man. Welcome.
Welcome. Hello. This is more than just a case of Britain. Hello?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay, great. I've been listening to your host, actually your guest and yourself, and the commentaries are true, but in essence, you know, I always say the leaders are a reflection of the people, and it's more than just a case of bread and circus. Ultimately, these people that are apparently are running the show, and even the ones behind the scenes, really don't know what they're doing. They really don't. They're not that smart. I think the people are giving them too much credit. An example would be if you take a... Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking, you're right to a large extent. They are actually really dumb people, and that's why they get selected. Like, dumb psychopaths get promoted by smart psychopaths who are not on the ground floor. To do all their dirty bidding and whatnot, you know, and they think that they're getting all the stuff from themselves, but the reality is they're being used at the same time that they think that they're using other people, you know. So it's right what you say, that all these people that are connected and whatnot aren't necessarily bright, but I think the point of our conversation was that, a lot of these people hold positions of power and influence in business, media, and politics. And the fact that they are in those positions means that they do use people. Even if they're stupid, they can still use their positions of power and influence to use us all.
Right, and the way they do it, it's like, imagine giving an 8-year-old a debit card with $100 trillion in it. What would he do?
Well, I don't know. He'd probably buy out real assets with it and implode the economy.
That's basically the mentality. In essence, and of course you've touched on the Bohemian Grove and the spiritual side, but I've pondered that aspect tremendously, but the problem is that I've found, no offense to any of the listeners or anyone here, because I might be included in that group, the Western man is so detached from the spiritual reality of what's going on that they totally negate the importance of that reality and let it take control of them. You know, all this, like I've heard, you know, the mentioning of, these are, you know, Satanists, basically, and, you know, people just scoff it off as if, you know, well, we don't, you know, it doesn't exist or whatever. Well, it actually really does, and it really does take control. You know, and that's really one of the main cruxes of the matter.
And, you know, today, well, think about this particular point in history with all the stuff that is going on. What do you think is probably the most important subject matter that people should be discussing on the airwaves today?
Oh, that's a good point. Well, you could look at it from several different points, and I'd look at the airwaves the same way as I'd look any electronic media that is broadcast in the truest sense of the word broadcast. Now, Edward R. Murrow said that television, for example, is a cross between a national park and an Encyclopedia Britannica. So it's a place where you go to have, enjoyment, and a place where you get to have information, like the infotainment concept. So a mix of that. But at the same time, before any information is given out, it has to have the aspect of entertainment with some levity and also a reflection. You must show people where they're at so they know where they are. They can locate themselves, let's say, on the map and to see what direction they want to go based on the information they have. I have an old adage. I've been saying this for many years, and I tell people you will never understand the society on the planet today if you do not understand what cannibals, birthdays, and dolls have in common. And you could not imagine the looks that I get when I ask that question. What do cannibals, birthdays, and dolls have in common? I mean, and that is an example of the reflection that I'm speaking of, and maybe some reflection should be done on the broadcast, on the show. People don't like to be talked. So
go on. Continue.
Yeah, so the cannibals, you know, what do cannibals, birthdays, and dolls? And once you see the relationship between cannibals, birthdays, and dolls, you will have a clear comprehension, not an understanding, hopefully, because you don't want to stand under that, of what is going on. With the world society, it's not, and particularly Western man. I've never had anyone even come up with what cannibals, birthdays, and dolls have in common, because that is really what is going on.
Well, I've got an idea for you. Cannibals, birthdays, and dolls. Okay, here's a connection. On your birthdays, you get a birth certificate which has a shipping number. Okay, the people who created that system were the royals in the East India Tea Company, who have been exposed recently as being, at the time, cannibals. And they also have interest in Mattel, which make dolls. There we go. That's what.
Well, that's a really good start, you know. But let me jump it on you real quick. It goes back to the beginning. In order to understand something, you have to understand the history of that thing. For example, televisions are a 20th century invention, as we know. Some young people don't know that, right? So we have to go back to the beginning. So this correlation of what these things have in common started roughly 5,000 years ago. In the Mesopotamian region, where they spoke language of Chaldean and Hebrew. And those societies were agrarian, and they had a priestly class. By the way, in the Chaldean language or Hebrew language, a priest is a kahan. And they got everyone to worship this creature or this idol called Baal, or Baal. And the way you worshiped him, you went to the priest and asked for a wish of prosperity, and you brought him a small child. So the priest was the Kahan Baal, and the child, the priest would put the child on an altar, slaughter it. Everyone who partook in the ceremony would partake in a small drink of the blood and a little bit of the flesh. That's why the eating of flesh is called a Kahan Baalism, cannibalism. And the word Kahan Baal literally means priest of the Lord, right? So when you go to churches today, you see the priest of the Lord, because Lord is Baal. Okay, so that's where the origin of the word cannibal comes from, Kahan Baal, which literally means priest of the Lord. Now, the parents went home and with a missing child, and the other children said, well, where's our brother? Where's our sister? So the altar boys for the Kahan Baals made an effigy of a child and told the parents, take this home and let the children play with this instead. So now you know the history of dolls. Well, this went on for a while, and if it didn't bring rain or bring them prosperity, they knew that if they slaughtered all the children, they'd be run out of town. So then they started telling the people, do a parody of the ceremony, go home and bake a loaf of sweet bread, put some lights in it, candles, put the child up on a high seat with a pointy hat like we have, have them blow out the candles, which is blowing out the life, and make a wish of prosperity. And to show that this wish of prosperity, the ceremony works, anyone attending the ceremony has to bring a present. So now you know what the birthday ceremony and the dolls and the cannibals have in common. And that is, I think, a good place to start.
And even the pointy hats in there, too. I love that.
Yeah, but you see, the whole point is...
That's good.
...to do it. They want you to... See, so these rituals are actually really still going on, by the way, but they have the entire society participating, but unbeknownst to them. And they wouldn't do it if they actually knew the history.
It's participation via ignorance, and I find that that's the most effective form of control, is if you can get somebody to do something without them even knowing they're doing it or why they're doing it.
Right. That's why all of their holidays are also on 13-day cycles. They don't care what holiday you worship, whether it's Mother's Day or Father's Day or Christmas or Basket Weaving Day or Nose Picking Day, as long as you're celebrating a particular day on a particular time frame, you see. So once you start and look at it, see, that's what I think, going back to what should be on the broadcast, is just a reflection, but at the same time, you know, some people say, well, I don't believe it, you know. Or this material is too serious. Or that goes against the core and the root of all of our traditions. You see, that's the delicate balance that one has to strike with something on the broadcast. And that's your
Absolutely.
Job.
And well, I'd like to thank you very much for the call, Greg. Man, freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Well, sure. So
that's very
now,
good
like
stuff.
You know,
that's excellent stuff.
And also, just to, it's the heart of the people is not right, because I've explained this to so many people, and they're like, gas. They're like, oh, that's horrible. It's morbid. And then guess what? A week later, they call me and invite me to a birthday party as if I'd never told them anything.
And you're coming with a set of knives. He shows up with a knife, spoon, and a fork and a plate.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, thanks for the time. We'll meet again. I mean, I just love sharing this stuff, and I'm, you know, everyone has the same intelligence. It's just a matter of being able to discern certain things, you know? And like
a lot of it has to do with the ground you've traveled to and the things you've looked at and things you've experienced, too, that helps you see those other things and being at the right place at the right time. I think that's a lot of it in the waking up process, is being kind of at the right place at the right time. Yes. I know in myself, I woke up, of all things, during Hurricane Katrina. And realize, wait a minute, because you were watching these people stand on this bridge for days, and you see the buses and the trucks and all the aid blowing by these guys at 70 miles an hour. Nobody's throwing them out any water. Nobody's throwing them out any food. Nobody's saying, "Hey, get in the bus, let's leave." Nothing. They're just standing there, and two or three people. There's babies sitting there. There's 110 degree heat with all that New Orleans humidity, and that's when I realized, wait a minute, we're nothing but cattle to these people. These people are nuts. And it was amazing because everything started falling into place. And within another couple of months, you get the 9/11 picture. You start getting the picture about the vaccines. Then lo and behold, you come along to the Federal Reserve and all this. And it was like, boom, 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 boom. Next thing you know, I'm doing a radio show.
Yeah, Mommy, talking about vaccines and us being cattle. Well, the word vacca means cow. in Spanish. It's derived from the Latin. So, you know, literally, vaccines are something for the cattle.
Well, anything injected under the skin immediately, especially if it has any kind of a mineral or protein in it, the body goes into shock, a mild shock for that. It needs to. It's an injury. Your body interprets anything going under the skin as an injury and treats it as such all the way until it goes out through the kidneys and liver. But again, what are you going to tell the people? You see, the Europeans used to laugh at the Americans for taking vitamins because they say the Americans have the most expensive urine in the world. You know, everything is about money, and there is no money. It's a credit-based economy. So there's many levels to this truth. You know, here's an example. When someone says the movie is over, well, it may not be over yet where you see, like, the end come across the screen. And even though when it is over and you see the end, you still have the credits rolling. So if you had a two-hour-long film, you still have to buy 5 minutes more worth of film to put the credits in. And the interesting thing about the credits part of the film, it comes after the movie ends, but it starts off with every character in the movie, whether it was minor or major. And we're in a time period right now that started over 13 years ago that everything has already ended, right? And we're in the rolling credits right now. And, you know, you listen to all this 2012 stuff, and it's really interesting because there's no such thing as 2011 or 2001 or 1999. That is a fictitious form of calculating the years. The time is measured by the Earth, the Moon, and the stars. Period. And the people have gone away. So the thing is, even though you know people aren't going to run, I mean, it's 1 out of 1,000 people that can take this kind of information and actually use it in their lives. But it's still 1 out of 1,000 is better than none. And these things must be said. But they also have to be said urgently, but with a sense of joy. You must, because there's a big plan here. And again, I don't like going out in public and speaking about a lot of the spiritual relevance and the importance, because the Western man is so detached. For example, I tell people there is not one version of the Bible that is properly translated. There's over 30,000 mistakes in every version because they're not translations, they're versions. If you go back to the original language and you see it with a clear head, you will see it is a user's manual for existence on this planet. It has nothing. I have not found one religion on the planet that adheres to the Holy Writ that its religion is based on. It's kind of like the currency. It's baseless. It's not based on anything, you know. And I've read the script, the Bible, the Quran, and the Bhagavad Gita, which is the book of the Hindus. And none of them, I assure you, are doing anything in there at all. The other beauty of it is all the books are in full agreement, 100% agreement.
Well, do you reckon then that the Bible and all of these religious texts are just basically like a human version of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? You know, like an Encyclopedia de Earth, don't panic?
Absolutely, absolutely. If for example, if you went back to the original Hebrew and Greek scriptures and you pulled out any scientific reference in the Bible, you will have scientific discoveries that would only take weeks and days instead of years and decades. There's advanced technology in there. But the problem is you have to go back to the Hebrew and Greek. And then there's the issue of doctrine. You know, for example, if you run into a Hindu, you know, say, well, you know, in the Mahabharata, it says Brahma created everything, okay, like in Genesis, for example, right, as a creator. And if Brahma ever comes to you with his angels, you're supposed to serve a slaughtered calf and curds to him, like sort of like what the story of Abraham. And the Hindus, you know, they're saying, well, we don't follow that. We follow Hindu tradition of the Vedics, you know, which is not to kill any animals. And the Vedics are in the Bhagavad Gita.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, on the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Sweet cannabis.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the mouthpiece of our Lord and Savior, Barack Hussein Oberi, who incidentally is running now on a campaign platform of change you can beg for in the street.
That's right. That's right, Dad. Hey, by the way, they're gonna install this big, huge camp up in Brooklyn. I don't know where people can come and camp. I guess it's FEMA camp all in New York. You know, it'll be a FEMA camp with style.
Yeah, even bigger big screen TVs and even better popcorn. And but there's no alcohol, unfortunately. But there'll be heaps and heaps of M&Ms.
Oh, certainly. You know, it's going to be wild. It's going to be fun. It's going to be, you know, bring your family and your choco rations, and we'll be ready to go.
Absolutely. And free statin drugs, and very conveniently located and easy to get to. It's only 15 minutes by cattle car.
Sure. What are you doing, man? Man, I'm on a Lipitor trip, man. Just leave me alone. I'm going to take my statin drug here. Lipitor, baby. Oh, yeah. Somewhere on Viagra. What's going on? Well, I've had an erection for over 4 hours, and I don't know who to call.
Well, here's who we call. We call Tracy from Canada, who's a caller here. You're on the air. Tracy, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, now we can.
Oh, awesome. Welcome. Thank you so much. I just wanted to thank you guys for getting back together. Last time I heard you, I think I ruptured a spleen. I couldn't even type from listening to you guys. Blah, so hard.
So are you calling to thank us, or are you causing to be upset because we put a strain on the Canadian health system?
Well, you know, you do have Gray Skeletor as president now, so it could be a bit of both.
Well, and if you notice, his hair color changes from day to day. Some days when
it does, and that's lovely.
It's gray. And when he's supposed to look vim and vigorous, we've got the Grecian Formula 16 out.
Not working.
No.
You know, perhaps a sandwich would just tear him up so much more.
Well, you know, if I send him $3, I have a chance to sit down to dinner with him.
Everybody. You can, but apparently you can't give homeless people a sandwich. But would he count as homeless?
Well, I don't know. He is starting to look very Kenyan. the other problem is, I mean, Obama seems to look to me, at least, like he's losing a lot of weight. And boy, he looks like he needs a sandwich.
That's what I'm saying.
You know? Well, are they not feeding these people at the White House or something? Are they chained to the desk at the Oval Office?
His wife looks well fed.
Yeah, only she eats. Everybody else has to not. They just get to stare as she feeds.
Wait, I know what it is. He gets the cigarettes, she gets the food.
Clearly, he can't even have a smoke anymore. Does the president have to sneak out to have a smoke?
Or at least he doesn't smoke cigarettes anymore. Maybe he smokes, like, I don't know, small children wrapped up in a constitution or something.
I think lose weight and Michelle gain weight is a little bit of Oprah envy.
Or maybe they did a transfusion procedure where they sucked the fat out of Barry and pumped it into his wife.
Put it into Oprah because she's getting hefty.
Yeah. This is how we do it in Kenya.
They're doing good. They've missed a whole bunch of babies lately, but, you know, we won't talk about that. You guys are awesome together. I have...
We've so breached some regulations or something on air.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, many, many violations of thought and it's just stuff in general already.
Yeah, Mike, we just ended each other's careers, bro.
No, you're doing great.
I mean, I was fired from so many radio stations during my mainstream radio career. It was because of my mouth. This was nothing different.
Okay, let me rephrase. You ruined my career.
My career was ruined when I started this, so don't worry about it.
Guys, you know...
I heard him years ago tell me that you weren't any good unless you'd been fired. Well, I've been fired so many times, I must be really good.
awesome.
Yeah.
What are you going to say, Jason?
You know, you guys could go into the whole Illuminati thing and how long it's been going on. But I would just like to add, and this is my first time looking into your show, Vinny, and I'm going to listen again for sure. But you know what? I think there's cave drawings on walls of somebody running and screaming and just drawing weird crap for stupid reasons. We could go into that and their little symbolism forever, but paying attention to them, it's kind of like a child who's acting up. The more you look at them, the more they're going to do it. I love that you two just laugh. You say the news, you laugh, and bring out how ridiculous it is. Amen for retarded. They may be our presidents, prime ministers, but they're still stupid.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
Well, they wouldn't get the job if they were bright. I mean, it reminds me of George W. Bush, who successfully ran every business he was involved with into the ground.
Yes.
And incidentally kept getting promoted until he got the top job in the whole of the United States, the presidency. This is a guy who's reliable at screwing crap up.
And what did he turn around and do? He ran us into the ground.
Yeah, that's why he got the job. That's why I keep telling people. The stated objective of somebody's post in office is the exact opposite.
Well, okay? But here's
of the reality.
Maybe if we get over daddy issues, we stop electing retarded daddy psychopaths into power.
Well,
over and over again.
Interesting statistics on that.
W. Bush's defense. See, 9/11 happened, and he couldn't go to the Bin Ladens for a bailout.
not on behalf of the United States, but he could do it on behalf of United Defense.
Well, you know, maybe that, you know, I guess maybe the fact that, you know, we have a look. Some I need you to like kind of act up, be naughty. Say you're going to commit jihad because I got to build a military-industrial complex. This economy sucks, and I got to do something, okay? And so we're going to start a war on terror, and we're going to claim that Saddam has got these weapons of mass destruction. Ooh, very good. Very good, George. You do your part. I'll do my part. I make lots of crazy videos, say lots of crazy things, and then one day you can show up at my compound and kill me. It'll be game over. We'll go out to the island. We'll drink Mai Tais with Kinley and Saddam. It'll be fun. I'll see you there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I still think those guys are sitting somewhere having a Mai Tai and watching people dance the Hoochie Coochie and going, so, your brother's dead. Yeah, bummer.
Yeah, bummer.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I'm just sucking on their toes.
But yeah, because he's lived for how long looking the same? We should probably talk about Kissinger because he's looked the same since 1950, and that's creepy.
Yeah, man, and I don't know who he's been kissing, but, you know, a kissing with Kissinger is just, you know, really off-putting. But apparently the guy's quite a ladies' man, you know? Well, he walks up to them and he goes...
If you have enough money, you can pay for these things.
Well, yeah, and also he can walk up to, you know, these wannabe kind of demonite princess-type chicks and go, hello, I have the voice of Lucifer, and I used to be serving in the U.S. Senate and whatnot. And now you must come to bed with me so I can ride around in your blood. Would you like to buy?
Because Lord knows that's sexy.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing about
let's make some devil spawn. Yes, this is my new game. Devil spawn. He's having his back. Release it, your skin gets dry and... The next thing you know, you have scaly skin. I do not want scaly skin because I do not want to give myself away.
Put in the Marvin Gaye, I'm coming home, baby. That's terrifying, eh?
And when I get that feeling, I want Kissinger in me. Kissinger. Oh, yeah,
does
baby.
Does he have children? Has he ever been married?
Huh?
Has he ever been married? Kissinger, does he have kids? Little Skeletor thing running around?
He's probably just married to the Temple of Set, you know? That's about it.
So he just eats his young. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. Yum, yum. Like a, yeah, like a bull shark or a raccoon of globalism.
Oh, my God. He's a squirrel. He's one of those squirrels. They're together.
He's damn squirrels, always.
It's the squirrels, Mike. I keep telling you, it's the squirrels. They are totally in charge of everything. Do you guys think it's Kissinger and the Illuminati and the Rothschild? It's not. It's the squirrels. They talk in tongues. They weren't on Noah's Ark. I'm telling you, it's the squirrels.
They cause traffic accidents, all this stuff. I mean, how many times have you hit the brakes when a squirrel runs down the road? They do it on purpose.
They do?
Yeah. Absolutely. They distract you with their fluffy tails, and meanwhile, they plot against you. And
they twitch, and next thing you know, boom.
The time they run around claims they're just trying to get a nut.
Yeah, and absolutely. And in the meantime, they use raccoons as their henchmen to be a little bit more obvious because they've got the little black band around their eyes like little bandits.
They're cahooting. They are definitely cahooting, Vinny. I've thought of that.
And the entire series of Dr. Doolittle movies was nothing but predictive programming.
The whole thing.
Absolutely. I mean, they are preparing the world for a false raccoon invasion.
Yes.
Willy Wonka. Yes. Squirrels.
Yes.
Drag that girl into that middle of that vortex. It's the squirrels, I'm telling you.
Yep. Absolutely.
Let's look into the squirrels.
Every single trash can worldwide will be upturned, okay? And it will be...
Every single one.
You know, that's what I think that December 2012 is going to be, is all these dark trash cans upside down, the squirrels running around, the raccoons going nuts, dogs and cats living together. What are we going to do? It's over. No wonder the Mayans freaked out. No wonder I can't do another day like this. What's it tomorrow? That's fun.
I'm sure somewhere that we don't know in the Vatican, there's a squirrel symbol that would pull all this stuff together. We'll never know.
Yes, on the inside, the Ratzinger's Prada shoes.
Yeah. The squirrel assassins that work for the Black Pope. They're real deep into the Illuminati movement. Like, honestly,
that's a whole nother wormhole there, Vinny. Glad you caught that. Yeah.
And then there's the science squirrels in the Middle East. Gotta watch them too.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can go across borders.
They're more fans of dried fruit and bulletproof bulldozers.
Yeah. All I can tell you, folks, if you're tuning in for the first time, it's all squirrely. You don't realize it.
It's not. It's all
happening around here. So get with the squirrel. Understand the squirrel. Be the squirrel. Have him in your mind. These squirrels are psychic.
Be the squirrel.
And run across the road. They hoard nuts. They hoard acorns.
They do.
What are you going to do? In a time of need, the squirrels are hoarding nuts. What has this world come to?
Your country is being taken over by squirrels, ladies and gentlemen. Stand up. Don't stand by while your country is in need.
If you've lost your nuts, check the nearest squirrel.
Do you know why squirrels float down rivers on their backs?
Why?
To keep their nuts dry.
Well, that's important.
See how they are?
Yeah.
To keep their nuts dry, yeah. Yes. And the difficulty with dealing with such a voracious enemy who connives in secret is that to trap them, you merely need to appeal to what they really want. So I'm going to go back to a serious conversation about the New World Order, Illuminati, whatever. Because as far as I'm concerned, you know, it's the cause, the idea of exposing the people who really run this place. And I think it's good to throw out names there, like Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, George H.W. Bush, the Queen of the Netherlands, Queen Beatrix, and the royal family and all of that kind of stuff, because all of those people are very, very powerful. And they're just the well-known ones. There's plenty of other people who are more powerful that you know even less about, Rothschild family bankers, etc. And when you want to basically coax these people out into the open, there's an old saying, the way that you beat a fascist is you make them act like it. You know, and I'm all in favor of goading all of these people and making fun of them and making light of the situation, because to my mind, there's nothing that would irritate them more and make them angry so that they make a mistake and expose themselves.
Yes. Because they're not infallible. I mean,
and as the world right now is shaking us almost off, they have to realize that as much power and stuff they've accumulated, it means nothing. You go in a bunker underground, we'll just stand outside and wait for you after the earth is done shaking. What are they going to do? They eat their own young. I hope they go in their bunkers now. Please go in. There will only be five of them left in about 24 hours.
Yeah, they'll kill each other because they want each other's nuts. Right.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Tracy, for coming on the show there. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest is Mike Chambers, 402.
I got some so-called friends.
Welcome back.
Smile right to my face.
Final segment. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about being a mouthpiece for the Trinutteral Commission, the Council on Foreign Rodents, and the Bohemian Acorn Club on the Squirrel World Order. My very special guest, Mike Chambers. It's been a good show so far, man. I'm sure we've been cracking up a lot of people. Which I suppose needs to happen far more because everybody's getting too freaking serious out there. You know what I'm saying, man? How people will, like, get angry with you, like, actually angry, real anger over nothing.
Yeah, and it takes so much more energy to be angry. I mean, I had somebody who reviewed my show once said that I wasn't angry enough, that I was the funny man of Patriot Radio. What the hell are you talking about? I'm not angry enough? What am I supposed to do, foam at the mouth? Man, what do you want to do? Contract rabies from a dog so I can foam and just have a drooling? Hold on while I wipe my mouth. Ready again. I'm foaming again.
We're going to destroy you. We're going to beat the New World Order. We're free humanity.
Is that angry enough for you?
I mean, if I'm going to do that, I might as well be Randy the Macho Man Savage. Ooh, yeah. Going to kick some New World Order blood. Ooh, ooh, ooh. The lovely Mrs. is here. Yeah, get a Slim Jim. Ooh.
Yeah, here's the point. If you want anger in talk radio, there is more than enough out there already. If you want comedy in talk radio when it comes to these type of serious topics, the pickings are rather slim.
Yeah, and even then when I attempt to do it, it's still rather slim.
Yeah, I know. Maybe you need to have some more burgers, mate, you know, chunky that stuff out.
I should. Maybe I could just give them to the listeners and make them happy, put something in the burgers to make them more cognizant of me and think, well, hey, whatever he says is fine with me. I agree with him wholeheartedly. I think he's funny as all get out. I'm going to tune in tomorrow. Matter of fact, I wish he had some crap to sell because I'd buy it.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could get somebody together, you know, come up with a Mike Chambers microchip that you can slip in people's food, and it tracks and traces them wherever they go, and it sends their information personally to you so that you can, you know, market specific products to them, and also gives them updates to their cell phone about when your show is on.
And for any woman that's out there that's reasonably hot, I become instantly handsome, desirable. She can't do anything else until she's had me.
Yeah. Absolutely. And just tell her she can only have you if she buys this product for $29.95.
Yes, because as they say, the answer to 1984 is 1995 plus tax.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I would say that the answer to everything is, well, there isn't one. There isn't an answer, okay? Because everything that exists isn't actually a question. So how could there be an answer?
Oh, but see,
maybe that's a bit convoluted. I don't know. Let me see if I can summarize.
Well, I've never stayed up late at night long enough to watch an American cable because they have an infomercial for absolutely everything. You've got bunions, we've got the solution. It also acts as a nice seasoning for your roast. Bunion good. That's right. Good for the roast, good for your bunions. Order now. I mean, everything under the sun you want, they've got even the Snuggie, which is like a robe turned backwards. That doubles as a blanket so you can lay on the couch. And be all snuggy and warmy. and feel very good and warm about yourself as you lay there and watch the mind-numbing television that tells your brain to shut itself off.
I'm going to have to get me one of those.
Yeah.
A Snuggie. I can imagine me finding a Snuggie. That's great.
You know, I know the product. We need a Patriot Snuggie. That way, not only can Patriots lay there and monitor enemy communications.
Yes.
Patriots don't watch TV. We monitor enemy communications. But that's also, inside the Snuggie, you have a full-length pocket for a shotgun. And in the other pocket on the other side, enough for a week's supply of food.
Oh, yeah. And out the back, you've got a ham radio antenna, you know? So it's your Patriot Snuggie. I mean, it's the Snuggie and go, you know? As soon as the alarm bells ring, you can walk outside with your Snuggie and you'll be fed and be well communicable. You'll have good protection, you'll have good food, and you'll have enough communications to last you a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're there. And if the disaster's gone further than that, you thank your lucky stars you bought two Snuggies at the most affordable one you've seen on TV.
Well, you know, on the serious side I think Patriots do need to really involve themselves in the business network more often, because we have these people that are like fanatics who are like, oh, well, if you make any money out of it or something, you're evil. It's like, bro, people, it costs money to host websites, to, pay for bandwidth and pay for your internet connections and all of that kind of stuff. And if you can't go out and earn money while you're doing all this sort of stuff, my feelings is you should be able to earn something for doing the right thing. You should be able to earn something for telling the truth. Because at the moment, as I see it, the real problem with society is that people that can make way more money off selling lies to the public than they can off selling the truth to them. And anybody in the truth movement who demonized those who are trying to make some money out of the work that they do, then you're just not living in reality. They say that money can't buy happiness, or poverty can't either.
Well, I find it interesting that some get the pass on it. It's okay for some to make lots of money. Others, oh, you're in for the money. Well, they made like $500,000 last week. No, they're spreading the word. You're in for the money. Well, I made $2.95 in donations. That's $2.95 in donations. Yes, see, I told you, you're in it for the money.
Yeah, and we have a caller here. Robert, area code 602, you're on the air.
Well, thanks for taking my call. Love your show, Kenny. I listen to you just about every day. Micah, I listen to you too just about every day. What you brought up earlier was absolutely correct about having humor in this catastrophic situation we're living through. If you don't have any humor, you will eventually off yourself, because it's just so mind-boggling and mind-blowing. You've got to laugh. You got to find humor in every facet of this this monstrosity.
I've got something to say here, Mike. You're absolutely right, Robert, is that, you've got a choice here. You can either off yourself or laugh your ass off.
And buy my Snuggies.
I especially like the one with the nutty squirrel.
Yeah, always the damn squirrels. It's always the squirrels.
Yeah, you know, you guys, I mean, I also do, I co-host the show myself on Oracle on Sunday nights with Micah Sky, Esoteric Action Radio. And, you know, we talk about all these subjects, and we try and look to the lighter side of things, though most of our conversations are really based on what's happening with Earth, Sun, and the real changes, the ones that are really meaningful, not this illusion of these monster oligarchs. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's the biggest danger we face more than anything else. You know, but as far as these Illuminati are concerned, they have no hold on any of us. It's all an illusion to make you believe that they have a hold on us. Once you waking up from that illusion, they have no hold anymore. You're free.
And that's the thing. It's not that they're dumb, that they're smart, or anything like that. They've been very successful in pulling things off. But the major fact is we give them too much power. We give them too much credit. We give them too much power. We remain afraid of them, that they're going to do this and they're going to do that. How many times have we heard over the last 5 years that the Illuminati is about to do something and it is D-Day, something's going to go happen, and you wake up, it's D-Day plus one, and nothing's happened?
Well, here's the process that we go through as every individual wakes up. First, they feel fear. Then they feel anger. And then they want to communicate everything they know to everybody. And a lot of it's very angry. Then finally, after so long, you realize that being angry or scared does not solve anything. Nothing at all, because the situation is still exactly the way it is. So I take Benny's attitude towards this and just laugh them off. They're a joke. They're a bunch of clowns.
Yep. And when you laugh at them, their power instantly melts away. There is no
exactly.
power. That's why people like Bill Hicks were so successful. Sent and laid all this out to people, and people sat and laughed and laughed and laughed and enjoyed everything the man had to say. I don't think they realized that they were getting a whole load and a whole dose of it.
Yeah, I know. George Carlin was one of my favorites, if not my favorite. And he laid it out for everybody.
Yeah,
Well, going back, Robert, I'm a little bit of a disagreement with you. I mean, you're talking about when people wake up, they're woken up and they can't go back to sleep. But I know several people who've done exactly that. And I think we give individuals too much credit when they wake up, and some want to go back to sleep. And the way that they do that is they just keep going about their normal life and simply become even more apathetic than they were before. And my thoughts on this is that it's because they have a bad experience. A bad experience will either turn you into a hardcore activist or it'll shut you up for life and you'll never get back into it sort of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you got a good point, but I think it's just a small majority. I mean, the larger majority of us, I think, kind of go through that process, and we end up exactly where we all are right now. We're all communicating with each other, and as we bring more people into the group, the ones who choose not to participate is fine, because there'll be enough of us in the final end of this that they're going to lose anyway, because in my eyes, they've already lost. They're a joke.
That's right.
Anyway, thank you.
Thank you very much for your call, Robert. You're absolutely right. We've already won, and we're just going through the motions here. There's no need to worry, no need to fear, because the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Mike Chambers is here. And we'll be back tomorrow. And thanks, Mike, so much for coming on with me today, mate.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Catch you later, ladies and gentlemen.